is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, my good friends. This is your radio pastor, Tex Mars. Great to be with you again from Austin, Texas. You know, every week I get so excited in discussing and examining the Word of God and preaching the important message. And it's important not because I preach it. Somebody has to preach it, of course. And that's what God has called preachers into this world. I get excited because the mystery of God is so powerful. Sometimes I'm simply overwhelmed. I really am. I'm totally overwhelmed by the power, the awesome power of God's Word. I find myself, when I read the Bible, I alternate between just being awed and inspired and totally, it's just so wonderful. I from that feeling of being consumed with that to sometimes just feeling that I want to cry. Some things are so profound and so amazingly beautiful in God's Word, especially when you get into the Gospels and you read the accounts of Jesus' life. I mean, is there anybody who has ever lived that can compare with the majesty, the authority, the purity, and the goodness of our Lord? A lot of people ask me, Brother Tex, I'm a new Christian. Where should I start in the Bible? Should I start at Genesis? I always tell them, no, go to the very first of the Gospels in the King James Bible, the Gospel of Matthew. Start there. Start there. Read the Gospels. Read directly of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that will inspire you so much, then you'll want to read the rest of the Bible even more. I always tell them, go right to the Gospel of Matthew and start there and go through all of the Gospels and then go right to the very end, Revelation, then start the Old Testament. Now, it's not that one place is better than another in the Bible, and certainly I don't downgrade any of God's Word. It's just that reading about Jesus is so important and so awesomely inspiring. Now, one of the things that I love are the parables of Jesus. I mean, when you read of the prodigal son, for example, what an image that you get. You read of the lost penny, and there's so many, the rich man and the poor man, you know, Lazarus, and all of those things, those parables and stories of Christ Jesus, are meant to convey the truth and reality of not only what we're expected to do in this world, but in the next world as well. And you will find out what heaven will be like and hell will be like and what is required of you right here on earth from reading these parables. If you'd like to write with your comments, I like to hear from you. And if you'll let me know, you're praying for us in this ministry. Of course, we always need your love gifts. We appreciate it. That's how we're able to stay on the air, solely through your love gifts. Now, here at Bible Home Church, we don't sell anything. You know, we don't offer anything for sale. We don't even offer the tapes of this program. And the only way we can keep going is through your love gifts. And we appreciate your help and your financial support of this ministry. And most of all, we appreciate your prayers. Please pray for us. And jot me a little note. Dear Brother Tex, I'm praying for you today. Now, we usually have beautiful music, as you know, but we're not going to have music today. because I have so much to talk about in this mystery of the sea. Now, this is part six of our series. Seven. Okay, I've been corrected here. Okay, we're past six. Part seven. You know, somebody told me about a pastor that took one verse out of the Gospel of Matthew and preached 78 weeks on that one verse alone. That's an amazing thing, but it shows you the mysteries of God's Word and how much power can be packed into one verse. Can you imagine 78 sermons on one Bible verse? Well, this is our seventh. Okay, I've been corrected on the mystery of the sea. That's the first mistake I've made this whole year, isn't it? No. Oh, now don't write me and tell me that I'm arrogant. I know I do make mistakes every once in a while, but try to keep them to a minimum. Part seven of Mystery of the Seed. Now we're into the Gospel of Mark, the parable of the seed as given by our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the Gospel of Mark. It's chapter 4, where he talks about the seed, and oh my, this will change your life. Friends, you've got to read about the parable of the seed. You think you know it? Oh, read it again and look for some hidden meaning. And when I say look, I mean ask the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, please guide me into understanding and discernment. And I believe He will. In fact, that's the way we should always read the Bible. Don't just pick it up and start reading of your own intelligence and intellectuality. That may fail you. But ask the Holy Spirit to instruct you, and then you'll be shocked and amazed at the revelations that He gives to you. Now, we start with verse 20. We've already covered the other verses of the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, and we're on verse 20 today. We begin with verse 20, that is. It says here, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is a seed, my friends, that is planted. And remember, the seed is the Word of God that is planted. And the Word of God is none other than Jesus Christ Himself that's planted. You say, well, I thought the Word of God was the Bible. Well, it is, because you can't divide God from His Word. Someone once asked me how it was that we could have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but they all be one. Well, that's, again, we get into a mystery. I don't know how that works, but I know it's true. I don't have to understand everything. You know, I turn on the radio. I don't even know how it works inside. I go to the computer and go on the internet. I don't necessarily know how it works. Where does it go? What is cyberspace? What does that mean? But I know that I get images there that I can read on my computer screen, my monitor. So we may not understand how three can be one and one can be three. Some people very weakly give it words like they say there's three persons in the Trinity. Well, God is not a person. See, even that is a weak attempt to try to measure God. But God cannot be divided. He is indivisible and one. And at the same time, we see then that when Jesus comes in you, Paul said, Christ within, the hope of glory. Christ within. John 1 says Jesus is the Word. And Jesus says the seed is the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word of God. And the Bible is the Word of God. You can't separate God from His Word. You can't separate God from His Son. You can't separate God from the Holy Ghost. And some people try to do so, and they err in the faith. And let me tell you, when they start going down that road, when they say, well, you know, the Bible has a lot of errors in it. It's not fully divine. Oh, they're going to make a lot of mistakes. And they're going to go into false doctrines and teachings and sin and go right off the very road of Christ. And others who say, well, you know, I put Jesus in high esteem, but now He's not the same as God. Oh, that man is going to go off into false teachings and perdition. Believe me, he will. So you have to keep everything together as holy and pure and sacred. and the Word is one. And the amazing thing is the Word goes into you and you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. Again, we have an amazing and profound thing that will happen in the life of a Christian when you are born again. That seed is planted in you. Christ, the hope of glory. The Word of God is planted in you. That's why these, I've said before now, these false teachers, they come to you and say the seed is the money you put into a ministry. Don't believe that for a minute. The seed is the Word of God. Verse 14, the Gospel of Mark says, the sower soweth the Word. Read Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, you'll find the same thing. Jesus identifies that the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God, then, is sown on good ground. Here in verse 20 it says, such as hear the Word and receive it. You see, a lot of people hear it, but they don't receive it. If they did, they would have the fruit, because Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. How do we know if a person's a Christian? All we can judge is their fruit. Should we judge their fruit? Yes, we should. Jesus said, judge. Judge righteously. And don't cast your pearl before swine. A pearl, the pearl of good price that Jesus talked about, is that Word of God. And you don't just trample on the Word of God. And my friends, one of the things I see about ministers today is so many allow the world to trample on the Word of God. I don't allow that at all. I don't go for it. I don't stand for it when false teachers start preaching false doctrines and trample on my Lord Jesus Christ. I get angry about it. You say, well, Tex, is that a sin to be angry? It's not a sin to be angry. It's not a sin to be righteously indignant. If it were, then Jesus would have sinned when he cast out the money changers from the temple, when he told the Jews there that they were of their father, the devil. Did Jesus sin? Absolutely not. Was he angry? Of course he was angry. Just like he should have been. I'm angry when I see children being abused. I'm angry when I see wives being abused. I'm angry when I see injustice in the world. But the thing that really upsets me and makes me angry is when people trample on the Word of God. And if a man says he's a Christian and he tramples on the Word of God, I have to say, where is your fruit? You have no fruit except rotten and corrupt fruit from a perverted root and tree. But some hear the Word and receive it. That means they believe in it. It has impact in their life. It changes their life. They're born again. They become a new creature in Christ, a new man or woman. And they're born again in spirit and in truth. That is the only new birth we have. In spirit and in truth. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. In spirit and in truth. It says here, and they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You know, some people have more fruit than others, don't they? When I read this, I always look at this, and I feel a real twinge of guilt. Oh my, I want to have fruit. Don't you, my friends? And I don't want to have just 30-fold. I want to have at least 60. I want 100. How about you? When you get before Jesus in heaven, do you want him to look at you and say, oh, you're the one that I planted the seed in, and you brought forth some fruit, but it wasn't very much. It was 30-fold. I say, no, Lord, I brought forth 100-fold. I want to say that. I pray that I can say that, and I'm going to work for that. You say, well, do you believe in work salvation? I'm not talking about salvation. Jesus, in his goodness, plants the seed in you, and you're saved. But I'm talking about the fact that once you are saved, then God commands, and you must obey and do good works, because he's already prepared those for you in advance to do. Do you do them to be saved? No. You do them because you love Jesus, because you love Christ. You love the truth. If I hate injustice, and God hates injustice, I will work to see injustice stamped out and extinguished in the world. If I love the Word of God, I will work hard and fight earnestly and contend for the faith so that men will not trample the Word of God. And if they do, they're not going to do it in my front of my face. If you say to me, oh, so that's going to get you to heaven. No, it's not going to get me to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing. When I do get to heaven, I want Jesus to look me in the face and I want Him to smile and I want to see His countenance and I want Him to say, you did good. You did good. You fought the good fight. Isn't that going to be worth it? I remember the things that impacted me when I was a kid. Whenever I did something wrong, my mother would say to me, well, how would you feel if Jesus came right now and caught you doing that? That's what she would tell me. Let me tell you something, my friends. Oh, boy, that worried me terribly. Now, I never thought that Jesus was going to come with a whip and beat me and be angry at me and all that stuff. You see, the worst thing is the one who loves you the most, Jesus Christ, to disappoint Him. That's one of the reasons I don't cheat on my wife. There are other reasons, too. God doesn't want me to cheat, and I'm not going to cheat. But can you imagine the disappointment if I did something that foul, that vile, and she found out about it? That alone. And there are other things that harm you bodily and spiritually if you cheat on your wife or husband. But that alone, to have to face Wanda, my sweet wife, and for her to know I did this evil thing, that alone is enough for me not to cheat on my wife. And then to top it all off, I have to go to heaven and answer again for it. So, the ones who love me the most, my wife, my Lord Jesus, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to have to look them in the face, and they know, and I know. And I have to say, that kept me in line. Many times when I was a little kid, I didn't want to, if I died right then and went to heaven, for Jesus to say, I know about you. Oh, I know. If I ask forgiveness, He forgives me. But I'm embarrassed, my friends. Even today, if I do the wrong thing on something, I know Jesus will forgive me. But, you know, I just wish I didn't have to go to Him. But I do. You say, Tex, well, that's silly. Because He's good and He's faithful and He's merciful. I know that, and I'm going to go to Him. You better believe it. Because I want that sense of release. I want that freedom. I want to be cleansed of this thing. There's a burden. Sin is an awful weight to carry around with you. And I love it when Christ Jesus just picks it up and throws it away. Takes it off your back. Verse 21. Christ said, and He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? My friends, here we have the fruit again. If you're a Christian, you are just like a lit candle, my friends. You're a light in the darkness. Do you put that under a bushel basket where you can't see it? Do you hide it under a bed or do you set it up on a candlestick? You know the answer. Now we get to what I was just talking about, verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Friends, you think, well, I'm sinning, but nobody will ever know. I'm telling some lies, but nobody will ever find out. I'm cheating here in my business, embezzling a little money, but nobody will find out. I really should be giving more to God's kingdom in tithes, but no one will know. I can cheat on my wife or my husband. Nobody will find out. I can break this law or that law. No one will know. You better read verse 22 here, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. There's nothing hid that's not going to be made manifest. Nothing that you keep secret that's not going to come abroad. Verse 23 says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You better listen up. You can't hide your sin. It surely will find you out. It will search you out. Sin, my friends, is a stain. Have you ever went out to eat and you got a stain? Maybe you spilled some juice or something on your pretty dress, and maybe it was a pastel or a white color, or your suit or your shirt, and you had some important place to go, and you just say, oh, I hope they don't notice it. I'll just try to clean up the best you can, but it won't come off. That stain is there, and you're just so afraid that people are going to notice it. Let me tell you something. Sure enough, somebody will say, where'd you get that stain? Or what happened? Oh, well, it was, you know, it was nothing. Well, it looks like something to me, they say. You go to heaven and say, oh, Lord, that was nothing. That was just a small thing that I did. And Jesus says, well, I don't think it was nothing. I don't think it was small. Let's go to verse 26. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. You see, the kingdom of God is indeed, as Jesus says, it's like casting seed into the ground. It's always been amazing to me. I remember as a little kid, we ate a watermelon. I must have been about 4 years old. I was told this would happen. I went out behind my house and I planted that seed in the ground, watermelon seed. And you know what? It wasn't very long. I'd go out there every other day and look, because I was told that could grow into a big watermelon. You know what? Sure enough, a vine came up and out of the ground, and a watermelon began to appear. And, of course, first thing I wanted to do was cut it and take it in and open it up, and I did, and it was white. It wasn't even pink yet, but I was so anxious. Hey, look, this came from this little bitty seed. You know, my friends, if you grow with God, it will be huge what God can accomplish through you. You see, you start very small. The Word of God is put in you, but what potential it has. It's sort of like an atomic bomb. It looks small. You know, I've seen pictures of, I think it was called, what was it, Fat Boy or Big Boy or whatever it was, the first bomb that was dropped. You know, those bombs that were first dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. And it wasn't that large, but look what incredible damage it did. Now, that's one of Satan's toys. But imagine, God plants this little seed, and it grows and becomes huge. It springs and grows up, and you know not how. And then verse 30, we read of the mustard seed. Some people call this the mustard seed conspiracy. It must be a conspiracy, because the kingdom of God, Jesus compares with a grain of mustard seed. And when it's sown in the earth, he said, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. This is Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 31. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. The mustard seed, that's like the Word of God planted in you. But it grows, and it grows, and it becomes bigger than the whole universe. This is Bible Home Church. I'm Pastor Tex Mars. Hope you'll be with us next week at this same time as we conclude our messages of the mystery of the seed.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.